All right. Good evening. Welcome to the May 17th meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission. We will go through introductions first. Those on the screen can introduce themselves. Anyone here? Amy can start.
I'll go first. Amy Mall, North Kitsap.
Thank you.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Thank you.
Stephen Bowe, Central Kitsap.
Okay. And on my far left?
Carrie Kaltenborn, South Kitsap.
Richard Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Joe Phillips, North Kitsap. And then we have Commissioner Smith just joined us.
Yes, Stacy Smith, representing South Kitsap.
Good evening. With that, we will the virtual protocols and live, if anyone was here, we would ask that everybody silence their phones and keep your conversations to the minimum so you don't interrupt people that are speaking. For testimony and during the public meetings or hearings, we accept calls from the testimony on the internet. If you're Zooming, you'll see a raise hand feature. And once you're recognized, your sound will be unmuted and then you will have the appropriate amount of time to speak. For call-in users, please use *9 on your keypad to signal you'd like to comment. When the last four digits of your phone number are called, your sound will be unmuted. And for all participants, we ask that their first and last names be given before speaking. Also on call-ins, you may need to use *6 to unmute your phone. And then we do accept written comments. We ask that those be submitted to the staff members by 2 p.m. on the day before the meeting. And then those comments will be read during the meeting and limited to the time limit that is set for that deal. When you do write in, please indicate which date of the meeting your comments are intended for, your name and last name, and whether the participant lives in the Kitsap County, town, or city residence, and what your agenda item is. And that for general comments, we limit the speakers to 2 minutes, and then at public hearings, it's 3 minutes. Okay, with that, do I have a motion for the adoption of the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
Okay. All those in favor of the agenda, please raise your hands. Say aye.
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 It's unanimous. Okay. All right. So moving on to the adoption of the minutes. Do I have a motion to adopt the minutes of 4/19?
I'll move to adopt the minutes of April 19th.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Beam, thank you. Do I have any comments, corrections on those minutes? I only had one comment on that one. On the first one, the motion was approved unanimously and then was zero opposed. We should just strike the zero opposed on that. So all those in favor of the minutes, please raise your hands. Say aye. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's see. I'm sorry. Can we do that again? Please raise your hands if you're approving the minutes. Five. Yeah. And then opposed? And abstaining? Three. Okay, so 5-3 passes. Do I have a motion to adopt the May 3rd minutes?
I'll move to adopt the May 3rd minutes.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All right. Thank you. Any corrections, additions to the minutes? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please raise your hands. Unanimous. Thank you. And that brings us to our first general public comment. I see that we have one. Okay, Mr. Palmer, I see you wish to speak.
I guess I just have a question about the deliberations that the commission will be working on tonight as to whether or not there is a fixed timetable when the Board of County Commissioners will consider the matter. I know that they are supposed to and that possibly within a month, but I don't have that data before me, so I'm curious about that. And the second thing that I'm interested in is whether or not there is an advanced schedule of issues or plans, programs, or ordinances that the Planning Commission will be considering within the next 3 months. Just I'm curious as to whether any of that kind of information has been forwarded to the commission.
Okay. My first, to answer your first question is, I am not sure when the county commissioners will be considering the adoption of the ordinance. I know that they have a August 1st deadline for that to be adopted. So I would suspect that within the next few months, the actual schedule, we would have to look online to see when it's going to be put on their agenda. As far as what is being considered for the Planning Commission right now, we're getting briefings on the upcoming comp plan updates that will be considered for 2024. We don't have any agenda items coming up in the near future that I'm aware of, other than just briefings and that. So hope that helps you with that answer. Okay. And let's see, do we have any other comments? Nope. Okay, we will close this comment period and we will begin with the deliberation and recommendations of the Public Works Department of Ecology permit required update. And do we have Sarah Olson here just to remind us?
Hi, I am Aslan Gallagher.
Okay.
And I'm the Public Works Stormwater Monitoring and Outreach Manager. Sarah Olson is not going to be able to be here with us tonight, so I'll be helping with the presentation, and Michelle Perdue, our Stormwater Senior Manager, is here as well to help me. So we do have a presentation prepared for you tonight, if it's okay for me to share my screen.
Yes, please.
Okay, let me try this and see if that's going to work.
There we go.
Can you see my presentation?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so tonight, as you already introduced, we are going to be talking about our stormwater business pollution prevention ordinance, also known as the BMP ordinance. And for tonight, our schedule will be for us to kind of give you an overview of the public comments and changes to consider from those public comments, which there's only one, spoiler, and to deliberate, and we'll recommend that you adopt the recommendations that we're going to show you right now tonight. Let's see. And after that, the next two meetings are June 7th. We'll have our findings of fact recommendations. So after this, we'll prepare the findings of fact for you and present that on June 7th, followed by June 13th. We'll be presenting at the Board of County Commissioners work study summary of the comments as well. And so I think you guys have the comment matrix as part of the handouts for this. Okay, perfect. So I just wanted to give you a quick overview of our process milestones. Official processes to date, we've met with the Board of County Commissioners and briefed them in February. We met with you guys on March 15th at a work study to introduce this ordinance. And we had a comment period between March 22nd through May 6th, where there was a submittal form available on the website, as well as a planning commission, another planning commission work study on April 19th, where we presented and kind of explained a little bit further. And we had a SEPA determination of non-significance issued on April 25th. And our planning commission public hearing, where we also received public testimonies. Public engagement opportunities included cross-jurisdictional source control coordination meetings. In February, at the end of February, we had one. And then also we have one scheduled for May 23rd. March, April, and May, we did some general outreach to stakeholders and affected businesses via our county channels. We also presented individually to the Suquamish and Central Kitsap Community Advisory Councils, Kitsap Builders Association, and the Kitsap Development Advisory Group. We offered those presentations as well to Chamber of Commerce groups, Kitsap Economic Alliance, the Suquamish Tribe, Port Gamble, Sklalom Tribe, and the Point and No Point Treaty Council. At April 13th, we mailed out postcards to the affected businesses and held a virtual open house and information session on April 26th. So of that, we received two submittals through that online form and nine public testimonies. Those came in, again, through the online submittal form, a public open house we received some, and then also at the public hearing, the Planning Commission public hearing on May 3rd. So of those comments that we received, the two submittals and nine public testimonies, we were able to group them into four main categories of comments. There were programmatic and specifically questions on our progressive enforcement process. So kind of what happens if the businesses don't comply, and what if, you know, what about home-based businesses? And there was also a question regarding overlap with the ongoing health district's PPA program, which is similar. So we went through and did a thorough responses to those comments and questions, and those are also included in your handout. This is kind of just giving you an overview quickly of the main comments that we received. So the other second category was procedural comments and questions. Did we follow the proper protocols? And so, yeah, that we had two questions on that, and those were both answered as well with specific dates and references. The next category was of regulatory a concern. So how does the county have the requirement to do this? Who gave us that requirement to do. And so that came from our permit, as you guys are aware. So we answered those couple of questions and comments. And then the last kind of category was just comments. Purely just comments. So some opposed, some were for, or you know, in agreement with this proposed ordinance. So the last one that I want to show you, this is the comment we received actually from the Planning Commission work study in March. And this is the comment that led us to make the amendment that we are proposing tonight. So the question came up as, you know, the language is written states that applies to all existing land use businesses. And there was a question about a specific business type that was called out in the original language. So this was the original language that we had proposed. And it just said all existing land uses. And then we had this at the last sentence, examples of land uses, where we called out specific ones. And I feel, and we felt that that, and that comment alluded to the fact that that kind of gave some confusion to the ordinance. So here is the red line. It looks like a lot of red, but it's just because it's short. And so basically we added in to specify all pollutant generating sources associated with land use activities. And where to find that definition. So, you know, if ecology updates their definition or specifies, that is still good in the ordinance. And we added the word applicable in here 4 times just to make sure that we're talking about only the VMPs that apply to that specific business type. And from entering the county's stormwater drainage systems, again, specifying versus just saying in runoff, just tightening it up a bit and making it more usable and readable. So we took out the examples completely and added in the source for the ecology manual, which is where those BMP references are. So instead of just listing a few, we went ahead and cited the source so that anyone could go back and see where those were coming from. And then lastly, we added in this sentence, in cases where the manuals lack guidance for the specific source of pollutants, the county shall work with the owner operator to implement or adapt BMPs based on the best professional judgment of the county. And that is directly from the permit. And we felt that that would help to clarify if there were any discrepancies in the ecology manual where something was unclear. So here it is without all the red, and you can see it's not like terribly much longer or anything. It's just we added those amendments to be more specific. So, and this is also, I believe, the same language that was provided in the handouts that you have. So you should have that there in front of you as well. So that's pretty much all we have for you tonight. Just that we're recommending that you approve this amendment as proposed.
Okay, so we do have the proposed ordinance in front of us. Do I have a motion to approve the ordinance? We need to have a motion and a second before we can deliberate on the amendment.
I move that we approve the ordinance.
Okay. Do I have a second? Mr. Bean? All right. Thank you. Okay, the ordinance is now up for consideration, and we can start with deliberations in that. Does anybody have any comments? Commissioner Bowe?
On the last strikeout, it says best professional judgment of the county. Is that an issue? I don't know if it is or not. It just struck me as a little odd.
Let's see.
Seemed kind of vague.
Any response to that, Ms. Gallagher?
Let's see. I was just looking in the permit. I'm pretty sure we pulled it directly from here. I mean, essentially what we are meaning by that is that, for an example, if we went to a business and they had something in place that was working and was keeping pollutants out of the stormwater, but it wasn't what the manual called for, we would have the ability to say, that's fine. It's working, you know, as is. We're not going to make you, do something else just because that's what the manual says. It just gives us that like on the spot, real-time flexibility, I think, to work with businesses to ensure that, you know, this is being applied as it's intended, just to keep, you know, pollutants out of the stormwater.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Mr. Shattuck.
I've tried to talk about the standards issue for a bit, and I just haven't done a very good job of it. So I'd like to see if we can kind of just take a second and think through one part of this. In the middle of the ordinance, it provides that should applicable operational source control BMPs fail to prevent illicit discharges. Now that's okay. An illicit discharge is a defined term in the manual. Okay. But the second part of that is, or allows violations of surface or groundwater or sediment management standards, then a business has to do treatment or structural changes, okay? Now, to my knowledge, there is no definition anywhere of what a surface management standard is. I did a search throughout the whole stormwater manual, and that term doesn't appear. There's nothing in the manual that says what a groundwater management standard is. And it's important. If you think of it in terms of the speed limit. You know, we know that if there's a violation of the speed standard, then there's a fine. Okay, we know that. We're okay with that because we know what the standard is. There's a sign on the road that says 25 miles an hour. If I violate that, hey, I'm subject to a fine, that's okay. Here, we say, if you did everything right, you did all of your operational BMPs, but there's still a problem, then we're gonna make you do a treatment or a structural, redo your whole parking lot, okay? But again, I don't know what the speed limit is. I don't know what that standard is anywhere. My suggestion is, if you look at the definition of an illicit discharge in the manual, it refers to something there is, and that is an illicit discharge is a non-stormwater discharge to stormwater drainage systems that cause or contribute to a violation of state water quality, sediment quality, or groundwater quality standards, okay? So maybe that's what we're trying to get to, is we're kind of parsing that definition out and making it two separate things. But what you're ending up with instead is something that will be totally unenforceable. Court, these people violated a sediment management standard. Okay, lawyer, what is the standard? We don't know, but there was oil on the road or there was oil in the water. So I don't know how that fits. I don't know where that came. Again, we talked about it before, and I haven't gotten an answer about what is the sediment management standard. So my suggestion would be, let's get rid of that term, leave illicit discharge, because that's a defined term. It incorporates the issues you're thinking about here, but it's actually a real life standard. Sorry about the long discussion, but I just haven't been able to get that thought through.
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that. And I appreciate you bringing it up again, because I do remember you making that comment last time. So I guess my thoughts on that are that that verbiage again is directly out of the permit. Like, this was a requirement of the permit. So we essentially took what the permit said to do and made it into the ordinance. That, I guess that's what I would say. I don't know if Michelle or Jeff, I see Jeff Remack is on here. I don't know if either of you wanted to at this time speak on the sources for the surface groundwater and sediment management standards. I know I could, you know, we could go in and find those for you and provide them.
But again, you're going to be enforcing this with businesses. And so you I assume right off the bat, you'd go to your business and say, hey, you know, here's the standard you're going to have to meet. I know you've done all your BMP, your operational BMPs right, but you know what? You didn't meet this sediment management standard, and here it is. And so I don't know where that is.
So the standard when it comes to NTUs, which is the threshold, it's actually set up really around the NPDES permit, and it centers more around erosion and sediment control for turbid water discharge. Sure. And so it's not necessarily applicable all the time to what you're going to see from a parking lot when you look at it, right? Because what you get in a parking lot is any of the fluorocarbons, brake dust, caliper, rubber, all of that that comes off. And eventually, when you look at any of those systems, they say drains to the bay when you look at it. And so a lot of what really Aislinn's talking about is that you're doing the maintenance activity. Like, did you annually go in and clean out your stormwater system? Did you go ahead and do the standard maintenance that would be associated with it? Are you sweeping the parking lot? Many of the things we see all the time at Safeways and a bunch of different areas. So when you're asking for a standard as to what you're looking at, one of the things like we've asked before when people come in for a commercial, Commissioner Shattuck is like, hey, show us your maintenance records for the system and that you went ahead and you had it cleaned. That's really kind of what you look at and what's always supposed to have been enforced and was kind of looked at, but they didn't have it written into the code. And it's something the Department of Ecology has come and said, yeah, people need to be doing maintenance on their system and maintaining it.
But Jeff, this clause assumes that you've done all that. You've done, if you've done all your operational BMPs, then this, it doesn't make a difference because there's been a violation of the surface management standard.
So you can't
do a circle and say, well, what this means are your operational BMPs when it says you did your BMPs.
Well, I mean, I guess the way when you look at it, it's really not a circle. The idea is it's enforcing that people do the BMPs, because the truth is people don't do the BMPs. I'm just being honest as to what we look at. So when you're looking at it, they get an O&M manual. But if you're asking for a standard of like someone has, I mean, I guess the question is what standard it is you're looking for, because the standard we would look for would be like we did the annual maintenance on it. If they have a blowout of a truck and all of a sudden it loses all its oil and it dumps it into the catch basin and then it flows out. I mean, there's not a standard level that you set like this much oil is okay to be dumped into, you know, out to the bay or anything of that nature. It doesn't exist. You know, five over background is what people like to, is once you're five over background, they start asking questions about any sort of water pollution that you make when you look at it. So I guess I'm having a hard time because I'm not understanding, I guess, really what they're pushing and what they're asking for is for maintenance on the systems and that you're showing and you're doing regular maintenance. And it's not a case of we're trying to come out and play gotcha. You know, you've got two cups of sand in here when there should only be one cup of sand. There's not a threshold like that. And to draw a line in the sand like that would be more restrictive. Honestly. I guess I'm understanding the question, but not understanding the conflict a little bit, I guess, is what I'm looking at.
I think that's helpful, Jeff, sure. But I think the question is prevent illicit discharges stop? You know, we are preventing illicit discharges regardless of the standards. And I think that's what you're getting at. But my, I guess, comment would be, are we then making our ordinance less stringent than what the permit is requiring us to do? Because the wording in the permit specifies the rest of that, you know, those management standards. I mean, that's where I would leave it, is that that would be my, you know, take on it.
So the source of the standard is the permit itself. The management standard is in the permit, that language is required in the permit.
If I could jump in here just a little bit, there is actually in the very back of the NPDES permit a definition of water quality standards that gives the chapter of the WACs that support surface water quality standards, groundwater quality standards, and sediment management standards. And that's what the permit is based on.
And so I think the first one was what, water quality standard?
Correct.
It's not a water management standard.
Well, that would be surface water.
So again, that's what I'm, okay. So that's the point. So everybody it has a concern.
So just to try again, sorry, because I happen to maybe lean toward Richard's thought process here, Commissioner Murphy, for the record. So you borrowed language from the permit, which uses a term that we expect there's a definition for. And Ms. Perdue, you're stating that that definition is found where?
It's found in the NPDES permit, which is what we refer to in the text of the ordinance.
Okay, and is it fair to those that this will be enforced with to understand? I mean, Richard's a real estate attorney and he couldn't find it.
I understand your concern. Part of this program that will be supported by this ordinance includes technical assistance and education. So I think you've heard Sarah and Aslan both talk about that process in previous meetings, that this ordinance is only a piece of the puzzle. The actual operation of the program will involve a lot of education and technical assistance to these affected businesses, in which it will be explained to them, you know, how this works and what those standards are and what they'll be expected to meet.
And it's not different than what we're doing now. Is that what I'm hearing, Mr. Remack, that it sounds like we're just working on putting words in for things we already do?
So yes, really, that's it. There's an expectation now for anyone that's ever developed with a site development activity permit. Mm-hmm. They already have an expectation for an O&M manual with routine maintenance and things that are supposed to go with it. We don't spell out, you're allowed this many microns of, you know, antifreeze and this many of this. It says you'll keep the system clean. Should you have something that is extraordinary that happens, or someone is dumping oil down like a catch basin, then yes, you could easily go to that standard that exists in the NPDES and point to it. But that's not what we're doing. And we're not going to, the plan isn't to go to a basin and be measuring it. And when we see these, I used to work the field. When I would go out and clean one, you would know when someone was dumping oil in their catch basin. You know, mm-hmm. that person that has 25 cars and it kind of works, you know, they're the back tree mechanic. You knew, because you go into it and the next seven basins were all just coated in oil as to what's going on. And that would be a time when someone, if you had some system or something there that you saw that, then there'd be a conversation about it. We're not talking about the daily standard uses when you look at this. You know, the first question we ask is, are you doing your maintenance? We always ask that. Are you doing your maintenance? Is the system functioning? And I mean, I know that we're looking at it and there's a concern as to like, what's the threshold going to be? there's a threshold that exists and it's referenced in the MPDS. So it'd be adoption by reference is really what it would be, because if you don't do adoption by reference, what you end up is every time anybody changes something, you have the ripple effect then of having to go and update your code to meet whatever that change is. Since the MPDS is the overarching permit that when you look at for the water quality standards, they're referencing the MPDS, which I think is appropriate. But the reality of what we're talking about is maintenance. It's do the maintenance and actively participate. And where it probably really comes into effect more is some of the older sites where people, they haven't gone out, they haven't been cleaning or taking care of their basins or cleaning it out once a year type scenario. It's basically saying like, hey, you have an expectation to still go ahead and clean your system and maintain it and not discharge, you know, knowingly discharge illicit materials. Does that make sense, Michelle? Islin, is that what we're trying to do here, as far as I understand? And it's what the ecology manual's after, the MPDS.
That's a great explanation, Jeff. Thank you.
Commissioner Murphy, did you have any further comments on that?
No, thank you for the explanation.
Okay. Any other comments, proposals? Commissioner Beam.
I really like that you added the reference to the MPDS in the definition. That makes a lot of sense, and that gets you into the MPDS. Some suggestions. One, Appendix 8, which is the listing of the polluters, I would recommend that you have something similar to that on your website so that you've got something that somebody could come in to the website and say, does this apply to me? And then this discussion that we just had about what are you looking for? Well, have something on the website that what we're the purpose of this is, are you doing the maintenance? Do you have the records? Do you have somebody trained? Do you have a spill kit and know how to use it? And if those sort of things were on the website, I think this would be all a lot smoother operation. We've made a lot of progress on the wording, and the wording has come a long way, and I thank you for that.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Shattuck.
Just one other quick thing. One of the comments we've talked about throughout this process has been that Public Works has put together what looks to me like a really good program to get compliance. Let's consult, let's have a warning, let's do all kinds of wonderful things. That's great. But at the end of the day, Public Works, in response to questions, said, yeah, that's all great until, hey, the business doesn't do it, then the landlord gets the ticket. Okay, and so this is a business-focused program, but at the end of the day, it's the landlord who's going to get the citation or the notice of infraction. Commissioner Beam was saying, maybe the idea might be, as you're getting down that list of consulting and working with people, at some point we plug in, maybe before the warning letter, connection with the landlord about what is going on with the business. So the landlord doesn't hear about it the day the citation gets served in the mail. So thank you.
All right. Any other comments? No. At this point, nobody has proposed any changes to the proposed language. Unless somebody has an amendment, I would think we'd need to have a vote on adopting the ordinance as written. Do I have a motion? Well, we do have a motion.
I'll call the question.
Okay. So.
So now you take the vote.
Yeah. So we need to have a vote. All those in favor of approving the ordinance as written and presented to us, please raise your hands and say yes.
Aye.
And it's unanimous. Okay. that closes that deliberation. And then we will do a finding of facts and then forward that to the commissioners for their consideration. Commissioner Beam.
One quick question. Normally when we get to this stage, we have a document that says, and this is going to cost so much.
Yes.
I haven't seen anything that's talked about what this is going to cost. Normally on our form, it says, this is a cost impact of this ordinance.
Commissioner Beam, could I ask for a bit of clarity? Are you asking for the cost impact to the citizens to do the maintenance, or are you asking for what the impact would be for the program itself?
Well, one, I think you're required to do what the impact is for the county. And the other thing is that it would be very nice if you gave me a cost impact for the citizens. But normally when we get to this point, we're signing off the papers. There's always a line on the forum. This is what this costs. I haven't seen any discussion of a cost impact.
That would be in the finding of facts, which we do not have yet.
Correct. I'm just saying, will we see that?
Yes, you will see the finding of facts before, and we will approve the finding of facts.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Is there a cost on the finding of facts? Because usually I remember it on executive summary for the Board of County Commissioners, there's an appraised cost as to what it would be, but I'm not sure there is on the finding of facts typically.
Jeff, sorry, I don't know if you can hear me. My computer's bogged down, but for the record, Liz Williams, we have historically never provided cost assessments for proposed ordinances to the Planning Commission as part of findings of fact. So I don't think that's part of our common practice.
Right. My opinion is this one's going to cost money.
The board agenda summary. As part of the board's agenda summary documents, there is a line item that talks about fiscal impact associated with proposed actions that the board is taking, but that is the only time that I am aware of anything related to costs.
Okay. I'm just saying that this one probably doesn't cost zero.
I understand what you're saying, Commissioner Beam. I think the one thing about the maintenance aspect of it, this is an already expected item. The maintenance is already supposed to be being done. This is a case of, are people doing the maintenance and now we're going to ask about it? So that's the reality of it. Every SDAP that's gone out in the last, at least since 2007, has had you will do the maintenance, you're responsible for the maintenance, covenants associated with it. And even before that, since we've had stormwater codes, so all the way back to 1997, we're looking at maintenance covenants and O&M manuals for people to maintain their system. So this is an already expected cost. What it is it's the ability to have a conversation about it should you fail to be doing that. Does that sound accurate, Michelle?
Okay. Yes.
So I do understand you're interested in it and knowing exactly what it could look at for someone, but that isn't something that can really be priced out because it changes from place to place. It depends on whether your business is a strip mall or a Walmart in terms of the maintenance costs that could be associated with it. But that's something that is a known condition of land use when people go in and part of the SDAP that you'll have maintenance for your system. So it's not an unknown, especially with the businesses that we're looking at and when we're speaking to. So there's that aspect of it. And then Michelle, maybe you could speak a little bit to the system on the program on the county side, because I believe your program is already fairly stood up, isn't it?
Right. We have a due date to establish that program and get it up and running by January 1st of 2023. A lot of that work is already taking place with existing staff. So you've heard Sarah in here speaking to you earlier. She's our IDDE coordinator. She is also, splitting some of her time to this program. So
okay,
we're taking advantage of some of the internal processes that we've already got in place.
Okay.
I made my comment.
All right. Okay. The ordinance is approved. And we will move on to the next agenda item, which is the second general public comment period. And let's see. Yes, Mr. Palmer.
Again, a couple of things. One, I was interested to hear, but did not, what the impact of the cost of maintenance is versus what the county does, and that they charge every property owner in the county. Used to be $35, but it's more now. I don't know what the actual figure is, but that's to go around and clean out ponds and stuff, or who knows what it's morphed into since it was originally imposed. So I think somewhere along the line, there needs to be a cost differentiation between what the county has already taken as their responsibility to do maintenance on stormwater systems versus what this ordinance will require in the future. And then I would also like to emphasize a point that Al Beam made. Kitsap County does no fiscal analysis of ordinance implementation. In this case, you've got a whole staff that has to go around and visit all these businesses. So that's the cost. And whenever compliance is mandated, then you're going to have additional staff costs. So the county doesn't make that assessment, and yet you can't afford to pay for all this stuff you are enforcing with every ordinance that's adopted. So somewhere along the line, this has to stop, and somebody has to do a cost-benefit analysis, because if the county can't afford the implementation, they shouldn't adopt the ordinance. I don't care if the state did say so. And if the state said so, where's the money to do it? And why isn't that disclosed to the county citizens and property owners? This is ridiculous. And by the way, I have made this point to the Board of County Commissioners on multiple occasions, and they totally ignore it. And yet, you can't afford the staff to implement stuff. So the people trying to do business with the county, they're having to pick up the tab, but they aren't getting quid pro quo for the money they have to pay, which is absurd.
All right. Okay, Mr. Palmer, the 2 minutes are over. Thank you for those comments. Do I have any other comments, people wishing to speak at this time? No, seeing none, we will close the second general public comment. And then we have item H for the good of the order or commissioner comments. Does anyone have anything for the good of the order? Commissioner Smith.
Yes, so thank you so much for the presentation today. I continue to learn so much about the work of Public Works and how you leverage the expertise of the Department of Community Development. I really appreciate the presentation today and how you complemented the information in both sectors, complemented the questions we had. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other comments, gripes? Nope. Okay, in that case, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting? I just love how you guys wait.
I'll move to adjourn the meeting.
Commissioner Cottonboard, thank you. Second. Okay. All those in favor of adjourning for tonight? It's unanimous. All right. Thank you for everyone that attended.
Thank you.
Public Works. See you next month.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, staff, for sticking around.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Have a great night.